Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
So I need to learn martial art, judo, and taekwondo. And I remember this guy, he is the founder of judo. His name is Mr. Kano from Japan. When he died, he asked his student to put his body in the tomb. And he asked his student, he has the highest black belt rank in the whole world because he's the original judo martial art man. But he asked his student to put the white belt on him. Before he died, he said that, I want everyone to be learners all the days of your life. You need to feel all the time that you are like a kid. You're like a children, not childish, but children, that you need to learn. And many times when you learn something basic, you think you know, but actually God, the Holy Spirit, can speak to you something deeper that you never thought about it before. Therefore, don't look down on the basic. Don't look down on the foundation, because God can speak to you even deeper. You know that the word disciple, mathetes, in Greek, come from the verb that means learner. Disciple are learners. We need to keep learning, keep receiving new things from God. Today we're going to learn more about prayer. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask your Holy Spirit to speak to all of us, teach us, and give us understanding and insight from your perspective. Lord, we believe that your ways are higher than our ways. And your word is so powerful that can renew our mind so that we can have the thoughts of God, not the thoughts of man. Father, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit today to speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today, I would like to talk to you about the subject, why pray. Today, I'd like to come to the basic, why we should pray. Many people don't pray. Actually, millions of Christians around the world rarely pray. Or they may spend time 1 minute a day praying. And that is very sad. They live a low kind of life. They are not living in a supernatural high level of life because they don't understand the power of prayer. Prayer can change circumstances and change situation in your life, in your nation, in your city, in your family, in your job, everything. Prayer is powerful. Many people don't pray. Many people don't even want to go to prayer meeting. People don't understand why it's so important to have that appointment with God. I tell you, if you wake up a little bit earlier and come at 9 o'clock to pray together here with us, you will start to see the change in your life. It's worth the time of waking up in the morning and come and pray together instead of sleeping another half an hour. It will make a tremendous changes in your life. Amen. There are two main reasons why people don't pray. The first reason, because people don't believe that it does any good. People don't pray because they don't believe that it does any good. They may not say it out from their mouth that, oh, prayer is a waste of time. They may not say it out, but the action really show that they don't think that prayer will make any good things in their life. They don't understand that prayer can make a tremendous power, bring tremendous power and changes into their life and into other people's life, into your kids, your husband, your wife, your church, your nation. Your army, whatever. You know, if you pray, you will see the change. And that's why, as I say again, they don't go to any prayer meeting. They don't even spend time praying to God on a regular basis. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. It means he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In order to really have a lifestyle of prayer, We need to believe that God exists. And God is a good God. He will listen to you and He will answer your prayer. And He also is very faithful and loving enough to be able to bless you, and He is willing to help you. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It takes faith to believe that God exists. In fact, many of us say that it takes faith to believe that God exists. But for me, the evidence of God is so clear. I just went to the Hawaiian Botanical Garden in the Big Island and look at all those hundreds kind of flowers, orchids and the tropical flowers. And when I look at those flowers, Dan, I, Pastor Dan, I look at each other's eyes and say, how come people don't believe in God? This thing will not happen by accident. I'm going to open somebody's brain tomorrow to clip an aneurysm. And every time I open the skull and look at the brain of a patient, I know that there is God and God exists. Amen. There's no way that that brain, that complicated, complex brain will happen by accident. God is real. God exists. And you don't just pray to the air. You don't just talk to something empty out there. You are talking and praying to the living God. He is real. He exists. Amen. And He is loving. And He is good. And He answers your prayer. Amen. I know it takes some faith, but God is inside you and He can listen to you. God is not only in heaven, but God by the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He is everywhere. You can pray in your bedroom, in your car. You can pray anywhere because God is everywhere and God is on the inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray even during snorkeling. I love to snorkel. So when I snorkel, I look at the fish and I pray to God. I talk to God. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in Waikiki Beach. And I like to do that more often though. Maybe a few times a year. Now you know that I like Hawaii so much. Maybe I should plant church over there in the Big Island. Amen. Brandy say yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Many people are not persuaded that God exists. Many people are not persuaded that God is good. And He is willing to listen. And He is willing to answer. That's why they don't pray. When you ask, He will answer you. When you talk to Him, He will listen to you. Amen. The problem is this. This is kind of vicious cycle. The vicious cycle. Let me explain this to you. If you live a lifestyle of repentance, you live a lifestyle of wanting to please God, serve God, feed your spirit with the Word of God, worship Him, going after Him, draw near to Him, seeking after Him. The more you do those things, the more reality of God gonna be in your life. But if you pull yourself off, drawn away from God, you don't repent, you don't live your life for God, you know what? The flesh and your selfishness and your self-interest will become more real to you. And God will become so distant and not real anymore. So that's why it takes a decision. It takes the discipline to go to church, to read the Bible, to spend time with God, to live your life for the kingdom of God, to repent and to seek after God and draw near to God. And the more you do that, God will become so real that every time you pray, you know that you're talking to somebody in heaven, not just talking to the air. Amen. The more you yield to your flesh, the more you try to please your own desire, the more reality of your flesh is going to be. Millions of people, do you know? I notice, I watch people. Millions of people in the world are consumed in their own whole life. This is what they think all the time. I will satisfy me. I would make myself happy. Me, me, me. I. And I become so big because they never thought about God. And then God is so small and eventually God is not real to their life anymore. I tell you, people who are consumed in their whole life about me, 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 they have a formula of misery. The more you live for yourself, the more miserable you're going to be. You cannot smile. You're selfish. You're self-centered. Everything about me, people don't greet me. People don't bless me. People don't give to me. It's a formula of misery. But if you begin to look out to God and live your life for God and see that God is so real and you begin to communicate with Him and commune with Him, you will be fulfilled. Your life will be full of energy and happiness. How many people want to live that kind of life? Amen. Is that right? How many people want to live in misery? I don't want to live in misery. The more you feed on the Word of God, the more you're going to feel that God exists. The more you draw near to God, the Bible says, God will draw near to you. And God will become so real to you. God responds to you, your seeking heart. If you seek after Him, He responds by revealing that He is so real. Yes. Amen. I have been touched by the presence of God, by the fire of God so many times, maybe more than 100 times, that God Himself come and touch me. Really tangible touch of God that I cannot deny that God is real. You know, every time I draw near to God and God come and touch me, and I know and I know He is even real, more real than even the chair you sit there. He is so real. Why? Because I draw near to God. I seek after God and He draw near to me and He reveal Himself to me. And then your prayer going to be effective. You know what? Because you know that you're not praying to some thing in the air. You're praying to the living God. He exists and He's a good God. Amen. This year, He becomes more real to me than He was last year. There are two kinds of Christian who thought that God is not real, who kind of like waver in their faith that God exists, and Christian who believe that God is so real to them. There are two bunches of people. And I'm the second bunch. In the second bunch, that God is so real to me. And I pray that you all will have that kind of experience, that as years go by, God become more so real to you. Amen. How many people notice that God is more real to you this year than He was last year? Raise your hand up. Amen. God is a good God. He cares. He loves. He listens. He wants to bless. What kind of person, what kind of God we want to hang out with? I want to hang out with that kind of God. A God who loves me, cares for me, protects me, provides for me. Amen. That's the first reason. Many people don't pray because they don't think the prayer will do any good. They don't believe that God exists and they don't believe that God is good and listen to them. The second kind of people who don't pray are people who don't feel that they really need to pray. They don't think that they need to pray. They don't see the real necessity of praying. They say like this in their heart. They may not speak it out loud, but they said, you know, I graduate from University of Washington. I can handle everything in my life. I know everything. I can look at a situation and I can really discern and I can use my mental capacity to do things of my own. I tell you, if you say that to Jesus, He will say to you, I don't believe that. Jesus will say to you at your face that I don't believe that. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Millions of Christians do not pray as a lifestyle because they think that they can handle everything themselves. They think that it's good enough to just make it to church on Sunday. Oh, that's wonderful. I go to church on Sunday, maybe pray with my brother and sister for a few minutes. This is not the kind of life that God wants us to live, just to go to church. God wants to move us up to the higher level. He wants us to live in the supernatural plane, in the high plane of life, in the miraculous plane of life. And I'm going to explain to you, this is just introduction. I'm going to tell you why we need to pray, okay? Some of them even try to pray a lot at the beginning when they become a Christian, but they don't see the answer, they don't see any result, and they say, why should I keep doing this? Why should I keep going to church and praying? I quit going to church, I quit praying. But they don't understand that because they pray in the wrong way. Because they don't understand biblical principle of how to pray. That's why their prayers are not effective because they pray in the wrong way. The Bible says that you don't have because you don't ask. You know that? The book of James says that. But when you ask, the Bible says you need to ask in faith. And you need to ask in love. And you need to ask to the Father in the name of Jesus. Many people don't even ask in the name of Jesus. They don't pray in love. They pray, could send fire to burn that person. Get rid of them. That's why their prayer never get answered, because they pray with hatred. They pray with selfishness. They pray in the wrong way. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus said, without me, you will not bear fruit. In other words, you can fail without him. You can mess up without him. You can get disaster without him. You cannot succeed without him. That's what Jesus tried to say. You need to abide in him. What does it mean, abide? John chapter 15 verse 7. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Prayer means communion with God. Prayer means fellowshipping with God. Abide mean to stay close to stay with, to live with. I abide with Pastor Da because I stay in the same house. We live together. We abide with each other. So when you abide with God, it means what? You constantly have a communion with God. Constantly, daily, day and night. All day long, all night long, you abide, you stay close to, you commune with him, you fellowship with him, prayer without ceasing. Have that kind of lifestyle of communion with God all day long, every day, every night. Amen? Amen. And Jesus promises that if you can do that, if you read his word, you abide in him, you wake up in the morning, you have some request, you say, in the name of Jesus, that can happen, it will be done for you. And when you wake up in the morning, you pray for somebody in the church, that they get into trouble, it come to pass. He said that when you ask anything, it will be given to you. Because you live a lifestyle of being close to God and abiding with God. Yes. A prayer life. Lifestyle of prayer. Amen? Amen? Prayer works. Why does prayer work? Because we live with him all the time. Because we know his heart. Because we know his word. We know what he think. He speak to us all the time. So whatever in his heart is in our heart. So we're going to pray out of his heart. Because we understand what he thinks. We are so close to him. I mentioned to you one time that Pastor Da doesn't have to write about 3 pages of information to me. Just 1 eye contact to me. She just look at me. I can write 3 pages of information from her. Why? Because I abide with her for the last 30 years. 35 years now. Something like that. I know her since I was 15. So we know each other for a long time. So if she look at my eye, I know what she think. The same thing with God. If you get so close to him, commune with him all the time, pray constantly, getting close to him all the time, fellowship with him all the time, it doesn't mean that you have to kneel at the bedside and put your arm like this. No, no, I don't mean that. You can pray when you yawn. You can pray when you take a deep breath. And while you take that, you say, God, I love you. You don't need to kneel at the bedside. You don't need to make a religious posture. Oh, God, I am a religious man. No, 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 no. It's a lifestyle of communing with God. Constantly communing with God. How? By being aware of his presence in your life. By thinking about him a lot. How many times you think about God a day? You're thinking about him a lot. You're listening to him all the time. You're talking to him all the time. And as you keep doing that, he will become so real to you. You will become close to you. And you can understand and hear his will. And you will understand his word because you're going to get into the Bible all the time. And then you're going to live a supernatural life of a high plane of life. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus was walking on earth as a high plane of life. He was walking supernaturally. He was walking on the water. When I got on the boat to snorkeling 2 days ago, I was thinking, oh, it would be fun to walk on the water, but I cannot. I cannot walk on the water like Jesus yet. I still need the floater put on me because I'm not a great swimmer. So I beg for the floater right away so I can snorkel. But Jesus did not need a floater. He just walked on the water. He was living in a high plane, a supernatural life. Why? Because he prayed a lot. I'm going to show to you in a minute here. When he wake up in the morning, what does he do? Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Wow, Jesus woke up before the sunshine came out. He went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he watched a TV, complained, read newspaper. What did he do? He prayed. Did Jesus pray? Yes. Did he have a lifestyle of prayer? Yes. Did he pray once a month? No. Does he pray on a regular basis? Yes. Prayer is a part of his life. Amen. If anybody would be in such a condition or situation that did not have to pray a lot, that person would have been Jesus. He never sinned. He has the anointing without measure, mean unlimited anointing. He is the Word manifested in the flesh. He's the Son of the living God. He has no sin in himself. His faith is high. His love is unmeasurable. He can spend time praying only 2 seconds and it should be done. Because he's so powerful man. As a man, if somebody would not have to spend time a lot in prayer or not even need to pray, that person would have been Jesus. But did he do that? No. He prayed on a regular basis. He prayed when he get up in the morning. He did not pray at least once a month. He prayed all the time. He prayed every day. If Jesus saw the necessity of prayer, how about us? Should we see the necessity of prayer? I hope that my preaching today will convince you to pray more. I pray that my preaching today will change our church to be a praying church. I set up alarm clock this morning, 6:15 a.m. so that I can come to pray. Even though I had only 3 hours sleep. Because I see the necessity. I mean, actually this sermon really changed me. I really was convicted when I prepared this sermon. When I wrote this sermon. Millions of Christians hardly pray at all. They are not fully persuaded prayer is necessary for their life. They are not persuaded that they need to depend on God. But Jesus went up to pray in the morning. He spent time alone with God. He spent undistracted time with God. I know that you can pray while doing many things at the same time. You can eat and pray. You can drive and pray. You can watch TV and pray. You can read a book and pray. You can do many things at the same time while praying. But the Bible says that we need to spend a quiet time, undistracted time with God too. We need to get to the time that our mind is so quiet that we can hear from God. Get quiet enough. Sometimes people kneel at the bedside, try to pray, but their mind is with some movie, with some magazine, with the job, with the bills, with this and that, with football game, with baseball game. Their mind running everywhere. Their minds are not quiet. That's why God cannot speak to them. Because their mind is full of stuff inside. God wants us to come to the point that everything is quiet. And then we can listen to Him. If Jesus found it necessary to pray, it's totally necessary for us to pray as well. Look at more scripture here about the life of Jesus. Who is the best model of prayer? Praying person. Jesus is the best model. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 3, 21 to 22. When all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." You can see here that when Jesus came out from the water, he did not do like this. Look at me. I'm a son of God. Look at me. What did he do? He opened his heart to God. He prayed after he came out from the water. You can see that Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed as a lifestyle. Even coming up from the water after water baptism, who was he talking to? He was talking to the Father. And I learned something from this scripture. Look at the Bible say again. Why he prayed? The heaven was open. When you pour out your heart to God, when you open your love, your heart, your commitment to God in prayer, heaven will be open for you. It's not a one direction flow. It's a reciprocal flow. Back and forth. You open your heart, he opened his heart, and he flowed to you. And he'll give you more anointing. He'll give you more wisdom, more revelation. He will come. God will open heaven and come and meet you where you are. As you pray more, you're going to know God more. You will really receive things from heaven. Everyone say with me. As I open my heart to God in prayer, God will open heaven for me. Prayer causes us to be receiving. Giving your heart and your commitment to God is the way to be receiving from God. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6. We're talking about the life of Jesus here. Jesus saw the necessity of prayer. Luke 6:12. Now it come to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. Again, he went out to the mountain to do what? Sightseeing? To look at the flower? To have a daydream? To sleep? To complain? No. He went to the mountain to pray. And continue, what? All night in prayer to God. Wow. He did not pray only 3 minutes. He continued to pray all night. Jesus should have been a person who would get the answer in prayer only in 2 minutes. Because his faith is so strong. His love was so powerful. He did not have to spend all night with the Father, actually. I mean, think about it logically. He did not have to spend all night. He was a powerful man already. He's a man of faith. I mean, he really full of faith, but he still pray. Jesus need to pray. You would have thought that, oh, Jesus did not have to pray that much. Jesus still need to pray because the Bible say, when he came into the world, he lay aside his glory into a normal man like you and me. And then he showed us how to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as a man. We are human beings. I told Mary Jo and Neil yesterday that I could not get up and preach here without the anointing. If you see me in my house, when the anointing is not there, I'm just another normal person. Look tired, look like a human being. But when I got up here, the anointing was upon me. God teach me how to walk under the anointing when I minister. You understand what I'm talking about? Jesus was a man. He was tired. He was hungry. But he was walking under the anointing. And he wanted to show us that as a man, not as a God, as a man who depended on the anointing, he prayed a lot. And we, as a man and a woman of God, who want to walk under anointing, we need to pray a lot. It was necessary for him to pray. Why would it be less necessary for us to pray? And we have less anointing than him. He has the anointing without limit. Amen. He did not pray only 15 minutes. He prayed all night. There is no condemnation in this church. If you pray only 15 minutes a day, why don't you increase to half an hour? Why don't you learn how to pray longer? Spend time longer with God. Jesus pray all night. What did he do? He talked to the Father. He shared his heart with the Father. The Father shared his heart with him. He was talking back and forth, fellowshipping, spending time. The Father shared what should be done with him. And look at the result of spending all night prayer with the Father. Look at Luke 6. I read verse 12 one more time and go on verse 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, look at the outcome of spending a long time with God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. You need to understand this. Thousands of people follow Jesus to get healed, to get delivered. Many disciples follow and care for Jesus in those days. But he chose only 12 to be apostles. The Bible said that the name of this apostle, except Judas, that replaced by somebody else in the book of Acts, their names were recorded in the foundation of the new city in heaven. Not only that, they are the founder of the first church in the world. How important it is. They are apostles of Jesus Christ. Would it be sad if Jesus chose wrong people to be apostles? Oh, big problem. Is that right? He spent all night and the Father gave him the name of this 12 apostle. Out of thousands of people follow him, he chose these 12 men. And who told him that? I believe the Father. The Father told him to choose these 12 men. It's a big mistake to appoint wrong person to be a leader in the church. Big mistake. I learned from Jesus that before I appoint anybody in the church, I need to pray a lot. And making sure that God is the one who tell me that person should be the leader. I want to tell you right now, be upfront with you. Many years ago, God told me this. God told me that manipulation is a form of witchcraft. And he told me, don't manipulate anyone. Don't use your mouth, your power, your authority to manipulate anyone to do anything. Because if you do that, you invite demons to come into your life. Because the manipulation is a form of demonic witchcraft. At the same time, God told me this. Don't let anybody manipulate you in the church. Money cannot manipulate me. Even though you're a millionaire, you come here and you say, if you don't give me this position, I will not be here because I'm rich. Bye-bye. You cannot manipulate me. I don't want manipulation in this church. I want only the Father's will. And we're going to listen to the Father. Who he going to appoint to be leader in the church. Don't use dinner to manipulate the pastor. But you can feed me dinner. I don't mind. Amen. Jesus waited on God all night. And then he knew the will of the Father. How many times, now let's come to our life now, here, year 2006. How many times have Christians made mistakes? How many times that we have been in the wrong alliance? Join the wrong company. How many times that we pick up the wrong person in our team? How many times that we hire the wrong people to be in our company? How many times that we fire good people from our company? I think many times. Why? Because we don't spend enough time with God. All the ladies, before you make a choice to marry any man, make sure you pray carefully. Because once you get in that marriage, you cannot get out. Amen? It's a lifetime commitment. Therefore, pray. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by how you feel. Some men are very good. I'm not talking about woman and man relationship. I'm talking about anything. Person can walk to me and say, Pastor, you look so handsome. You're so anointed. Oh, I like you. 2 days later, can you promote me in this church? You understand what I'm talking about? That people can look nice outside. They may come to you, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Every time I'm close to you, my heart is palpitating. Oh, I cannot live without you. And you listen, you hear those things, you feel that feeling. Oh, You see the handsomeness of a man. Most of the time, we go by what we see. We go by what we feel. We go by our logics. We go by our reasonings. We go by from the top of our head. We go by our past bad and good experiences. And I do that many times, I tell you. I sometimes depend on bad experiences to do this and that. But God say, that is a lower level of living. You know what? You don't know everything behind the scene. You don't know everything in people's heart. People can fool you. People can cheat you. You need to go deeper by you. Who knows everything? He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen to you if you marry that guy. He knows what is in his heart. He knows that he manipulates you. He knows everything. Therefore, be careful if you say, I don't need to pray. I can handle myself. You need to really fast and pray and really ask God, because God knows down into the deep thing in people's heart. He knows what they're coming from and what they want. If you want to live a life of victory all the time, not being cheated by people, don't make the wrong decision in your life, you need to have a lifestyle of prayer. Look at one example in the Bible. I tell you, prayer life will make a substantial difference in your life. You're going to live in a higher plane, and you will not waste your time and make mistake. Because God the Father in heaven will tell you what to do. He knows everything. Look at the story about Jesse and his sons. Oh, Jesse. At that time, God told Samuel to go to Jesse's house and say, I can anoint one of your sons to be the king. The first one come out, handsome, good-looking, older son. Maybe this son. Everyone look at the outside, look at the outward appearance. Samuel say, no, not this man. Second one came, no, not this man. Eventually he brought everyone in except one younger son named David. A young man doesn't look very impressive. Taking care of the sheep in the field, is not handsome, not muscular, is not very attractive. Before David come in, Samuel say, any more son? And then he called David in. Samuel said, this man, I anointed this man. This man going to become the king of Israel. And in the Bible say, man looks at the outward appearance, but man looks at the heart. God, I'm sorry. Thank you, Da. God looks at the heart. Now you know that when I preach wrong, somebody will check on me. My dear brothers and sisters, if we wait on God long enough, we will not miss it. We will make the right decision. Jesus found it necessary to pray. He prayed extensively. He prayed all night. He communed with the Father all night. Why we need to pray? Sometimes pray a long prayer. Because sometimes we need time to get our body and our mind quiet. Shut the door from the world and just spend time with God so that God can speak to us. You understand what I'm talking about? Have you ever spent time with God that? Just spend time and talk to God, commune with God, listening to God. If you have any major decision in your life, make sure you spend time with God enough before you make any decision what to do. Don't just rush. Don't just hurry. Get quiet with God. Hear from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if your mind still go on and on like this, you know, let me ask this question. Can God tell you in a minute what He wants you to know? He can. But why doesn't He do that? Because your mind is too running. You don't get quiet enough to listen to Him. This is the big problem in today's society. I noticed this. Today's society is a society of microwave, drive to McDonald's, cell phone, instant message. Everything quick. You pull the telephone out, click, 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 click. You can talk right away. Everything instant, easy. You can call your boyfriend or girlfriend from another, even on the island, you can call your boyfriend now. In the past, it will be tough. You can email, you got into the hotel, boom, wireless connection. I can email people from. It's so easy. So our life right now is so running, rushing. And we don't have enough time to listen to God. Because everything is running, rushing. God, tell me now. I'm busy. God, I'm going to go to lunch right now. I'm busy. Tell me right now what you want me to do. And God said, calm down. Sit down with me for an hour. We need time to fellowship. Just calm down. Don't rush. Sit down with me. Can you? No, God. I have so many things to do. I have to answer 500 emails today. I have a lot of instant messages to answer. I have many websites to go into Google and look for all those Googles. And, oh, God. I'm too busy with my computer right now. Tell me right now. You cannot rush God. You cannot tell God what to do. God say, slow down, spend time with me. Amen? Wow. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus did. Luke chapter 9 verse 18, and it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. Can people say about you like this? Oh, he's alone praying. Where is Dad? He's alone praying. Where is Neil? He is alone praying. Amen. Where is Hiang? He's alone praying. So we should have that kind of label, you know. When people label us, where is he? He's alone praying with the Lord. Spending time with God. Amen. That's how Jesus lived. He lived a life spending time with the Father all the time. Luke chapter 9 verse 28. I show you all the scripture to show you that Jesus have a lifestyle of prayer. Now it came to pass about 8 days after this saying that he took Peter, John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Look at verse 29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Jesus did a lot of praying. You learned a while ago about he prayed all night and he got revelation from God how to choose the leadership. Yes, every Christian should be involved in the local church. Serve God fully. Be diligent in serving the Lord. But leadership needs a special attention of being selected. We need to be very selective in choosing leadership. Amen. Now, look at another benefit that Jesus received from the Father when he prayed. When he prayed, not only heaven opened to him, but also heaven came down to change him. The same thing. The more you spend time with God, the more he's going to change you. From glory to glory to glory. One day God told me this. If my members in the church, not mine, his member in the church, in the members of the church, spend time every day in praying and reading the Bible, the pastor will have less headache. You will not see much carnality. You will not see much fighting and problem in the church. If everybody spend time with God on a regular basis, reading the Bible, spending time with the Father, because God gonna come down and change you from glory to glory. Jesus did not go through persecutions, betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection blindly. He knew everything ahead of time. The Holy Spirit tell us ahead of time what to happen. We don't know everything, but he can tell us a glimpse of what's going to happen, and he will tell us to prepare for what is going to happen. When you spend time with God, he will come and change you, and he will tell you what's going to happen in the future. Amen? And he will tell you not to do this and to do that. Let me remind you this. I used to be this kind, and I already repented. I used to be this. Everything come and offer in front of me, I take it. Oh, you invite me to go to that church to preach? I take it. I want to be on the pulpit. I take this. I take that. Lately, God said, no. Don't take every offer because you can go into disaster. If 5 offers come in, Father, I need your help. Which one I should go first? Which one I should ignore and say no? You know what? Because the devil know how to bait you. to entice you. He can put something in front of you and look nice, but you spend another 5 years running around in the desert, going nowhere. So, don't try to be a smart guy yourself and take everything. Spend time with God, listen to God, and do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you what to do. That's how I live now. I used to be running around, doing everything. I'm here to please the Father. Because I don't want to waste time in something else that will just pull me away from being a husband, from being a pastor, a good leadership in the church. You understand what I'm talking about here? You spend time with God. And God going to give you revelation. God going to give you direction. God going to tell you what to do. From the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Can we live our life in the know? K-N-O-W. Or should we live a life in the dark that don't know anything and keep making mistakes? Some of us say like this, oh, Pastor, I'm too busy to pray. I have a lot of things to accomplish. I have a lot of things to do. You know, people who say that, that's why they're busy. Because they keep being seen doing things that they waste their time. Actually, the more work you need to do, the more you need to pray. Because if you pray, you step back and pray to God. Then you will not make a lot of mistakes and you will not waste a lot of time doing a lot of stuff that will waste your time anyway. Your life will be more effective. Where to call, what deal you should make with in business, what to do. You will save a lot of time because you spend an hour or 1.5 hours with the Father and pray exactly what you need to do instead of running with your flesh. Oh, I'm going to do this. Everything come out from the top of your head here. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I know I can read the game. I can discern myself. I know I'm a smart guy. And then you keep making mistakes instead of depending on the Father. Are you getting message today? Are you learning something? Is it important? Yes, it's important. Don't run by your flesh, but be close to God. Do you know that we have responsibility? There are two kinds of Christians. Christians who say, I'm going to go to church to be blessed. Nothing wrong to be blessed. But another kind of Christian are those who go to church and say, I'm going to be blessed anyway, but I have responsibility. I have my duties. And there is one responsibility for every Christian to do. That responsibility is to pray for other people. One day when you stand before God, before Jesus, Jesus will say to you like this, why you allow that happen to your son and your daughter? And you were standing there and say, oh, I should have prayed for my son and my daughter. Why you allow that to happen to your government, to your city, to your nation? Why you allow child pornography and child prostitution to happen in your nation? Maybe because we don't pray enough. It's our responsibility to pray for all those children. Pray for our church. Pray for our president. Pray for our armies. Pray for our nation. Pray for the nations. It's our responsibility to pray for them. And pray changes things. Things do not change because we don't pray. Is that right? We need to do our duty of praying. Praying for your wife, praying for your husband, praying for your kids, praying for your church, praying for your pastor, praying for the nation, praying for your mission field, praying for the Great Commission, praying for children, praying for the youth. We need to pray for people. It's our responsibility. Amen. Prayer will change things. It's a privilege. We need to use the privilege of using our faith, the name of Jesus, and the privilege of prayer to change things on earth. That's why we should pray. Amen. Don't live a low level of life. Live a high level of supernatural life. Don't depend on what you hear and what you see. Don't depend on your logic, your own idea, but depends on the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Don't rush to do things, but listen to God first. If God doesn't say do it, sometimes you just have to wait at the right timing. Look at what Jesus said here. I'm going to conclude this sermon by reading a few scripture here to show you that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would not do anything without the approval of the Father. 100% of His life. 100%. John chapter 5 verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most actually, I say to you, the Son, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, can do nothing of himself. Wow. Who is talking this sentence? The most anointed man in the whole universe. The most powerful person say that, I can do nothing of myself. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. How did Jesus know what the Father do? By spending time with the Father. He see in the Spirit. He knows what the Father tell him. He was so close to the Father. He will not do anything if the Father doesn't tell him what to do. He follow the voice of the Father through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 5 verse 30, he say again, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Wow. Can we live that kind of lifestyle? How many people want to have a powerful ministry? Powerful ministry. I don't mean that you need to be a preacher. Whatever you do is very supernatural and powerful. Do you know that the ministry flows out of your personal life? Not out of the diploma from the Bible school. Your ministry flows out of your personal life. Jesus' ministry flew out of his personal life of prayer. He spent time a lot with the Father. It's not about title in the church. It's not about position. Apostle so-and-so, MDiv. No. It's not about your title. It's about your personal life with God. How much you are close to God. How much you listen to God. And just do whatever God tells you to do without being rebellious. And going like a horse, go before God, or be like a mule that God wants you to move, but you don't want to move. You live a life of depending on God. Look at Jesus say here. I like this scripture. Oh, it's really changed my life. John 8:28-29. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, being the Messiah, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me, meaning the Father, is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that pleases him. In other words, all the teachers and all the leaders in the church, listen carefully. Jesus never took any credit for even one message he preached. He never took any credit for one miracle he made, one deliverance he performed, one sermon that he preached. He said that everything that came through me come from the Father. Amen. Let's give hand to Jesus. Don't say like this, oh, I'm a great teacher. Look at me. How many sheep follow me? I have a great lesson to teach you. No, don't take credit for yourself. You hook up to the Father. Look up to the Holy Spirit. And let him teach through you. Let the lesson come from him. Not from your own mind. Your own intellect. Amen. It's different when you see people teach from the intellect. And people teach from the anointing. It's different. Don't take any credit for yourself. Actually, no sheep belongs to you anyway. They belong to God. Don't quote that, oh, this is my sheep, this is my people. No, there's no your people. They're all God's people. Amen. Hallelujah. You can hear from God. Pray without ceasing. Spend time with God on a regular basis. Live a life of the supernatural. This is the promise of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 12. And you cannot do this without a lifestyle of prayer. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this, he will do. Wow, he tells us that we're going to do greater works than him. Because I go to my Father. Jesus has gone to heaven. Now he left the work for us to do. And greater works we will do. But we need to have the same lifestyle like he had. The lifestyle of praying without ceasing. The lifetime of constant communion with God. The lifestyle of depending on the Father. I can do nothing except what I see the Father do. Should we pray? Does God exist? Is God a loving God? God listen to our prayer? God answer our prayer? Yes. You think you're going to live a higher plane of life if you pray more? Yes. You think you will make less mistake if you pray?
Yes.
Should we pray?
Yes.
Should we now see the importance of coming to prayer meeting?
Yes.
Should we spend longer hours in prayer and spending time with God together?
Yes.
Amen. Should we take responsibility and fulfill our duty to pray for people? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone, why don't we stand up? Father, we repent, Lord, that many of us have not seen the necessity of prayer. We go by what we see, what we hear, what people say to us, by circumstances, but not by what heaven tells us to do. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I believe that this sermon that you gave me will change our church to the next level. People who listen to this teaching later on will begin to pray more and see the importance of prayer. Father, we want to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We want to be praying people, Father. Lord, help us to experience that quiet time. That when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And you become so real to us. Help us to hear your voice when we read the Bible. Help us, Father, to know you at a deeper and intimate way. Father, I ask you for your help, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you confess with God right now. Father in heaven, my body is weak, but I want my spirit to obey you and control my body. Sometimes, Father, I feel weak and I want to go to bed and ignore the life of prayer. Father, please give me strength by your Holy Spirit. Give me the discipline of life to pray more, to have a lifestyle of communion with you, praying without ceasing. Help me, O Lord. From today on, I will live like Jesus. I want to pray more, Father. Change me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. While you're standing, I wonder any one of you here haven't invited Jesus Christ into your life. I want to invite you to go to heaven with me to become a child of God. It's very simple. You should say, God, I am a sinner and I need you to forgive my sin. I want you to come into my life. It's very simple. If you want to do that, I'd like to pray with you. Anyone that wants to accept Jesus Christ into your life, can you raise your hand and I'd like to pray with you right now. Anybody that wants to accept Jesus into your life, raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Make decision. You don't know you have life tomorrow. You don't know that you have life tomorrow. You may be glad that you give your life to Jesus this morning because you don't know you have life even this evening. It's not predictable that we live tomorrow for tomorrow. Anybody that want to give your life to Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're not sure that you die, if you die today, you will go to heaven. You may say that I have gone to church. I have read the Bible. But I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. And if you open the door, I will come in. It's not about being a religion or religious. It's about relationship with Christ. If you are not sure that you die, if you die today, you will go to heaven and you say, God, I want to make sure. Today is a good time that you say, Jesus, I want to have a personal relationship with you. If you want to do that, can you raise your hand up? You may grow up in the church, you may grow up in the Sunday school. You may know about God, but you don't have relationship with God. Anybody? I just want to make sure that everyone will go to heaven with me. Anybody? Want to make sure. Don't be shy. It's about life and death here. It's not about something you need to be shy of. It's about life and death. You don't live in this world forever. One day we're going to die. We go to heaven or we go to hell. It's serious. This is a serious issue. Anybody want to make sure you go to heaven? I give you opportunity to make decision. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, save a lot of people in this city. Lord, many of them don't know you, Lord. They don't even understand the Bible. They don't know Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love people in this city. Please save this city, Father. Please, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to call people that you want them to be saved in this city to different churches around this city, Father, that they shall be saved and joined to the local churches, Father. Lord, please bless this city. Please bring revival into this city, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.